If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 46. And I want you to look at a couple of scriptures here. This was my daily reading a few weeks ago. And it was very interesting, and I really didn't know what it meant. And so then I decided that it might be, I want to dig in a little bit. And so hopefully it will challenge you as well. So we're going to look at the first two verses to start with. And the scripture starts out there in Isaiah 46, and it says, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They were a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. And so I did a little studying to find out who in the world are Bel and Nebo, and why are they stooping and bowing down, and what's going on here in this chapter. So we find out that Bel and Nebo were Babylonian gods. And we know that the pagans typically would have many gods, and these were two of the chief gods. And so if you could find a picture of Babylon, it was divided in the middle by what? Something very important. It was a lifeline. The Euphrates River. Yes. And so there was two sections of it, and both of those that were in the middle of each section was a place that was devoted to, one was to the royal palace, it was a great big large area, and then the other one was to the god. In this case, it was Bel. So, first of all, the names of famous kings and even some of the people there in our stories in the Bible, we find from Bel and from Nebo. For instance, Belshazzar, King Belshazzar comes from Bel. Nebuchadnezzar comes from Nebo. Belteshazzar. Does anybody know what young man's name was changed to Belteshazzar? Daniel. Daniel. And that means Bel, guard his life. And I'm sure this young godly man, when he came to Babylon, was not happy with being given this name after a idol, a god. Abednego means servant of Nebo. And I could give you more and more, but I thought that was interesting. So you see these two names. So we have Bel and Nebo. They're Babylonian gods, and their names are weaved into the history of this city as well. So Bel was also known as Merodach. You may have heard that name before. He's believed to be the divine protector of Babylon. He's going to keep them safe. He was considered the chief of the gods. All right. So an ancient Greek historian talked about how that, like I told you, the way that the Euphrates divided that. And so there would be the royal palace on one side and the temple to, they called it Jupiter Belus, that's Bel, on the other side. Huge gates of brass for this temple, for this idol. Actually, you can probably see those yet in the ruins today. Now, it was a square building, and each side was about 1,300 feet long. So I was trying to think in my mind, I think our house is about 1,300 feet, maybe.
That's 1,300 square feet. Yeah. It's 50 feet.
So, I should have asked you this before we came here. So, how long is 1,300 square feet? Not square feet, just feet. Help me out. Well, this football, is my not my area.
A football field is 300 feet.
Oh. Huh. It was a really big temple. Bigger. I was just thinking, okay, maybe my house, and then like square it. And all right, well, anyway. 1,300 feet
about
each.
Five football fields.
Okay. In the middle of it, there was a tower, and the height of that tower was 600 feet. This is all for Bel, B-E-L. And then there was also a statue of solid gold of this idol. And it was 18 feet tall, solid gold. All right, now Nebo, also known as Nabu, N-A-B-U, he was said to be the son of Bel or Merodach. And he lived nearby in the city of Bersippia. All right, and he was considered to be the chief speaker of gods. And they believed he had invented writing and he was a scribe. And there's actually an inscription, you can find it, this temple statue over in the Middle East. And it says, to the god Nebo, who is heroic, exalted, surpassing in wisdom, mighty prince, whose command is supreme, master of the arts, guardian of heaven and earth, all knowing, his ear is always open. He writes the book of man's life and man's destiny. He is merciful, approachable. He is the Lord of lords, whose might has no equal, without whom no counsel is given in heaven. He's merciful, compassionate, etc., etc., etc. Trust in the God Nebo. Do not trust in any other god. Now, I don't know about you, but if this is true, I don't think I'd have anything to worry about if I was in the city of Babylon. He's got it under control. All those adjectives describing this god and what he can do. So Nebo was considered to be the keeper of the tablets. Now, once a year, and they called this their New Year's festival, once a year, they would get these images out, and they would carry them through Babylon in a solemn procession. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around how they get this solid gold statue that's 18 feet high out and about. But it was said that they would bring Nebo from the nearby town so he could visit his father, and they would parade them through the city streets somehow or another on their shoulders. Probably needed a lot of shoulders, I would guess, to carry something that big. And so that was the way that they would worship it and show it off. Now, Isaiah, in this scripture we read, he's prophesying of something that's going to happen. Cyrus was going to conquer the city. Now, how did Cyrus conquer the city of Babylon? Seemingly unconquerable, impregnable, with this huge river through the middle, their lifeline. So he cut off the water. He diverted the river, if you recall, and there was a great big party going on. And Belshazzar, and you remember the story of the handwriting on the wall. And so this is when the captivity comes, when these gods are going to be, as our scripture says, stooping and bowing. People had been bowing to them. We're going to see that the gods are actually going to be bowing. Now, these gods, they've been carrying them around and worshiping them and praising them. These gods are supposed to have wisdom and no equal. Remember, this, it said, whose might has no equal. Those gods should have surely been able to foresee what was coming to the city and warned the king, they're going to divert your river. Come in here and worship me, and he would give them the wisdom, supposedly, to the king to help save the city. That's what the people expected. They're worshiping him. Can you imagine all the taxes that had to be paid to get an 18-foot high statue of gold? I doubt the king paid for it. So captivity came. Now think about captivity. Think about, we see pictures of the Israelites going into captivity, or in this case, the Israelites are captives of Babylon, so now the Babylonian people are going into captivity as well. So they didn't bring buses and, you know, bus you to the next town. You're going to walk. I doubt you get to have a donkey or anything like that to ride. You're going to walk. You're going to carry your most precious possessions, probably some clothes, maybe some food, maybe some diapers for the baby. You might have a baby on your other hip. So think about them walking into captivity, carrying whatever they can. And here comes the cows and the horses that have the conquerors are taking. And you look over there, and on the backs of those horses, which it would have been really nice if you could have put your stuff on the back of those horses, probably your horses and your cows, on the back of those beasts are Bel and Nebo. The scripture says they're a burden to the weary beast. The very idols that should have saved them, if they could do what the people believed they could do, they're there on the cattle right beside them. They're all going into captivity together. And I highly doubt it's 18 feet. It's probably broken into pieces and divvied out to the different beasts so it can be carried, but it's highly valuable. So imagine what they put their trust in, what every New Year's Day they celebrated and lifted up and partied and were so excited to see. It's going right into captivity with them. It could not save them at all. Those gods are now stooped and bowed down. Not only did it not help them, they're carrying them. So either they're physically carrying them, or like I said, maybe their beasts are carrying them, or mentally it's probably really hard to see that they're idols in such a way. And Isaiah was comparing that lighthearted carrying of the idols on New Year's Day when they partied to how they are now being carried, the slow transport to a foreign land. The idols who should have been your carriers, as Jehovah is to his people, are become burdens. Now we look at the next two verses in this chapter, 3 and 4. And God is still speaking, and he says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. which are carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs, white hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver. Now God is telling Israel, you have been carrying these heavy idols around, and they can do nothing for you. And I did not create you to be an idol bearer. I created you to be carried by me. From the time you're born until your old age, God has made you to need him. He has made you to need to be carried, not to be carrying idols. That's what he was saying to Israel. And imagine walking into captivity and remembering those words as the children of Israel. Boy, God would have helped us if we would have leaned on him. We put our trust in these golden images, these huge statues, because that was the thing to do, and that's what the Babylonians were doing, and that was what they could see, because it was kind of hard to worship a God you couldn't see. And we put all of our trust in those images, and God, that wasn't God's plan. I wasn't meant to be carrying this. God wants to carry, bear, and deliver me. And instead, I rejected that, and I've chosen to carry these useless, heavy idols. Now, does anybody in here have a statue of gold that they're carrying around? You put it up on your shoulders on New Year's Day, the New Year's party. Will I see you with your little God? Look here, Sister Sherry, I brought him. Probably not. I haven't seen it yet. There's no new thing under the sun. I might see it this year. I hope not. No way. Do you walk around your neighborhood? Oh, great God of the Strelucky neighborhood. No, we don't do that. And we laugh. Well, that's funny. And I think if we could look back in the Old Testament, we know this is stone. It's not going to help you. This is wood. It's not going to answer your prayers. Why are they kneeling to it? Why are they praying? But what if they could see some of the things we are creating idols out of? They might say, well, at least we can see ours. So, do we have any idols that are not so obvious, but maybe just as heavy? An idol is defined as anything that replaces God. It's more important than God. We turn to it instead of God. That can become an idol. I like this definition in the book Counterfeit Gods. An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart, your imagination, more than God. Anything you seek to give you what God is supposed to give you. So what are some examples of idols that we might have in our life? Now I'll mention a few, but you're different and I'm different. And idols can be different things to different people. We can look at, I just got a quick list here. Money can be an idol, a career, entertainment, sex, social media, cell phones, busyness. Me, self, can be an idol. Now, in their right place, those things I just named, in the right place, are they sinful? No. I didn't bring out anything right there. How do we know when they become idols? See, I feel like if we could go back in time, we could see the Israelites and they're bowing down to this idol. You know, we hear the stories of Baal and Ashtaroth and all these, the neighbors all had these idols, and Israel gets, they get wanting to be like their neighbors, and so they get sucked into it, and pretty soon they're involved in idol worship, and what is like, oh, what are you doing? Don't do that. That's completely wrong. And it would be, but it's a little more obvious that it's wrong because there's never a time they should be hanging out with the neighbor's idols. Never. But there's always a time we should be making money. I mean, unless you're, I can't think of an example when you wouldn't need money. We all kind of need money to survive. Maybe not when you're a baby. My grandbabies don't have to worry about money, their mom and dad. But when you get a little older, you're going to have to get some money. Brethren, you're going to need some kind of a career, more than likely. Entertainment, we all want to have fun. All work and no play makes Jack what? A very dull boy. You don't know that one? Yeah. We need to practice our nursery rhymes. I'm so disappointed. All work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy. So we do, God knows we need times just to let our hair down, be a little crazy. Yep. Have fun. Brother Steve used to let his hair down. All right. Okay, so obviously God has a plan for the other one, for sex, in marriage. Okay, so in the right time, in the right place, that one's not sinful. Social media can be used great for great good, so that's not sinful. Cell phones, now maybe God has convicted you. Maybe there's times you can't have one because mom and dad won't let you when you're, you know, 13 and mom and dad are really old fashioned. But as you get older, sometimes that might become a need. All right. Busyness. I think it's good to be busy. Idle hands are what? Devil's workshop. Did I hear it?
I was getting ready to say it, but you said it faster.
All right, Brother Damon, you got it. We have got to work on these little proverbs and nursery rhymes. All right. In self, I think you're all glad that I put myself together and put deodorant on and had a shower this morning, although as much as I'm sweating tonight, you will not know. But, sorry. A little humid. So we got to take care of self some. But when they get out of their place. And so, bless his heart, he's just earning brownie points right and left today. He fixed dinner and did the dishes. They just don't make them quite like that anymore. Shine in your moment, my dear. So this is why I think it's more deceptive, because things that are becoming idols for us today are things we have with us all the time. Things that are not automatically sinful. They're not the neighbor's idols that God said, don't even go over there, completely avoid them, stay away. So this is going to be a little harder, because everyday things can become idols. Again, definition, things that take God's place. Things that we turn to instead of God. Things that absorb our heart, our imagination. Let me ask you a few questions. What do you spend the majority of your time on? Could that become an idol? Could that be, oh, I should be talking to the Lord right now. I should be praying, but yep, I have not checked the news. Ooh, yeah, whoa. And God completely forget about for a few minutes. Did that replace God? Did that take his place? Did that absorb a part of us that he should have been in first place? What do you do when you're depressed? Nothing? Eat chocolate? I mean, sometimes it helps. What do we do when we're depressed? Sleep? Cry? If I'm not hearing yours, yell it a little louder. Eat? Music? Comfort food? Bad stuff, drugs? Yep. I didn't hear, I get my Bible out. I don't automatically do that either. That is not the first thing we grab. If I'm having a bad day, well, I'd like to grouch about it to somebody to start with. Just saying. My poor husband, he's like, can you, we've got three daughters. Can you call one? Yes, comfort food sometimes helps. There's all these things we go to. Now, in and of themselves, they're not idols. If chocolate's an idol, a bunch of us are in big trouble, I'm just saying. True? Yes. If coffee's an idol, a lot of you are in trouble. But do we bring them in to make us feel better and help us deal with what's going on in our life instead of going to the Lord? What makes you happy? A good talk with Jesus. Well, yes, but that's not the first thing we think of. Oh, a good book, Sister Sherry, good movie. A clean bedroom. My mom not bugging me. Got an amen over here. What do I do when I'm stressed out? When I've got problems? I turned to crocheting before. The blankets are done in no time.
Go in the backyard and scream.
Some go in the backyard and scream. My mother has advised that. I have not tried it yet. Again, some eat, some go to sleep, some comfort food. Same answers for some of these. Yeah. I'm aiming it over your way. Brother Damon's like, Sister Sherry's at it again. Now, a good scream or a good cry probably is not bad once in a while. Sometimes we sisters just need to have a good cry, get it all out of our system. But again, are we using these things to replace when God wants to help us, when God wants to? What did the scripture say? God said, I will carry you. What do you do when you're too tired to make it through the day? So late yesterday afternoon, I knew I had some things to take care of, and I was very tired, and I told Brother Steve, I don't think I'm going to make it, and so what did I say we should do? Have coffee. Have a pot of coffee, and we put coffee on. And I was thinking about this today. I didn't tell the Lord, Lord, I'm struggling tonight, and I'm really tired more than usual, and I need help. Nothing wrong with that second cup of coffee. I don't think that was a sin. But the Lord was not my default. Caffeine was. And I thought, if you want to look for coffee quotes, they're everywhere. 4 cups of coffee a day keeps depression at bay. I mean, you know, I thought it was an apple, the doctor, but that might help. With enough coffee, this author said, I feel that all things are possible. And we laugh because, if we like coffee, we know you can get, and you can ask anybody. It was my house last night. I got way too chatty with that second cup of coffee. And I was wired for a while. And it got me through the evening. But it made me sad when I thought, I never thought about telling God I needed help last night. God says, I will strengthen you and I will help you. Isaiah 41:10. Again, not saying drinking coffee is wrong. But are we putting our trust in something other than God? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Maybe it would have been better if I'd have remembered those verses last night, reminded myself of those. God said, I have made you. What do you do when everything's going wrong and you do not understand and you're frustrated and you don't have your why? You grumble, you complain, you throw things. Why is this happening? Chocolate, caffeine. It's kind of like the same answers to all these questions. Some might turn to drugs. Some might work too much. Some call their friends. Commiserate. Yeah, me too. It doesn't help at all. The two of us are miserable. Some of us just go to sleep. Certain kinds of music, when you're frustrated, it's probably not what a friend we had in Jesus. Yeah, it's probably headbanger music. That gives you a headache. Then you need more coffee. It's a vicious cycle. Is this a long-lasting fix? I mean, chocolate only makes me feel as good for probably like, when I eat it in 5 minutes after and then eat another piece. So it's not a long-lasting fix. And none of these are. It more likely just helps you to forget, but not work through it. At our house, a lot of times, especially the girls, I said, let's sit down, let's talk it through, let's have prayer. Then it's better. And it helps a lot. But when we just use things to cope, help us to forget, it's not helping the problem. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. When life doesn't make sense, and sometimes it might seem like it doesn't make sense every single day, great is his understanding. It's infinite. What does infinite mean? Forever. No end. Goes forever. Infinite. The universe is infinite, right? I think it is. It keeps expanding, so. His understanding, there's no end to it. But we forget to talk to him. We forget to take our problems to him. Psalm 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding, because your understanding is not infinite. When we're to trust in God, are we putting an idol or a coping mechanism in God's place? This will help me deal with it. This will help me feel better. Can be sinful things, can be not sinful things. But are we grabbing an idol for a moment and letting it fulfill God's place? God said, I will bear you. What are you bearing? What's on your shoulders, young people? Is it grief? Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have had people die. Some of us had some really hard places we went through. It's almost like someone's pushing on your shoulders and shoving you down. It's heavy. It's heavy. Maybe it's a relationship struggle or your past mistakes that just keep coming up and you can't forgive yourself. Perhaps you've got a history that is difficult. Maybe there's problems. Maybe you've been depressed. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're guilty. You feel guilty. You just can't get over maybe things you've done in the past. Maybe you've been disrespected. Maybe you feel like you have no friends. Maybe you feel like you have no voice and you're not able to speak up and tell how you're feeling. These are heavy. Those are heavy things, and they're common. And probably most of us could raise our hand on just about all of them. Oh yeah, depressed, yep, yep, no voice, yep, me too. How do these things become idols? We just keep carrying them. We don't take them to God. So what do we do to cope with it? Well, we might isolate, go in a room, shut the door, maybe talk to me, leave me alone. In time, that becomes problematic because man is not made to be alone, and neither are the women. We might keep thinking about those problems. That time that person said that to me, it was so disrespectful and it just hurt my feelings and I cried and I just can't believe why would they do that to me? And we think about it over and over and over. It's like, we are going to carry this no matter what. You try as hard as you can to take that from me. No way, I'm leaving that on my shoulders. Complain continually. Steve, you cannot believe what that person did. It is just driving me crazy. And his shoulders get tired from hearing my complaining. And we neglect prayer, the very avenue that we're going to get our answer. And then dark thoughts begin to take up residence. You're worthless. They said you're worthless. You must be worthless. Life's not worth living. And these dark thoughts can come in. They begin to work. But we're holding on to our burdens. We're holding on to that idol on our shoulder. Don't you dare try to take that off of me. And we push people away. And you know what God is saying? I will bear you. I'll bear you. Whatever you're dealing with, not just that one little thing on your shoulder, I'll bear you and all your burdens. I'll help you with them. They'll be much less heavy to carry because I'm carrying you and the burdens. But too many times we say, no, I'll carry it alone. We're creating an idol. It's an idol. It's something we're holding on to, and we're letting it take God's place. God said, I will deliver you. Maybe you have the idol of addiction. Could be drugs, alcohol, sexual addictions, and gambling. Things that are obvious. God's promised to deliver you from that idol. But it could be good things. It could be things like your phone, entertainment, social media. We can get addicted to some things that are fun. Or maybe we're supposed to be for good. We can be addicted to sports, career, being too busy. Workaholic. Idols could be good things that turn into God things that become bad things. Let me say that again. An idol is something that could start out as a good thing, but you let it take too much importance, too much time, too big of a place in your life, and it can become a God thing, and it's now a bad thing. I thought that was an awesome quote. I'm too tired to pray tonight. But real quick, I'm going to check Facebook. Now, I've done stuff like that. I'm just so tired. But really quick, I'm going to see what's going on with the news. And yeah, 45 minutes later, I'm more tired. The news did not help me, didn't encourage me, didn't bless me, didn't strengthen me. It discouraged me, more than likely. And I go to bed later than I should have. Then I get in bed. I try to talk to the Lord as I fall asleep. How productive do you think my conversation with the Lord is that night? No, it's not. How much of your free time is spent on things that are spiritual? When you feel worthless, just can't get it together. And I've said this before, and I feel like the Lord just checked me last night. So yeah, God's working on me. And I have said probably to you before, humorously, at night when I'm stressed out and I'm trying to go to sleep, I go through my to-do list and I check it all off in my mind to see. And I thought to myself, you're letting your to-do list do what you're supposed to be doing with the Lord. That's calming to me to know that things are orderly and getting done. And that's good, because my life would be a mess if I probably didn't have a to-do list. But when I say that that helps me go to sleep at night, it was like God said, instead of me. And I thought, wow, yeah, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that. We're all different. Maybe most of you don't have to-do lists like I do. But you've got something that takes God's place. Makes you feel better about yourself, helps you cope, helps you deal, helps you not deal, push away. When you're stressed, do you lose yourself and your problems in a good book or a good movie or some music? Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but if you do it all the time, you're never dealing with your problems, you're never taking those things to the Lord, you're just self-medicating, putting a Band-Aid on it, pushing it away. Are any of these things I've talked about tonight replacing God as your deliverer? He said, I will deliver you. Sometimes we just need delivered from clouds of depression and overwhelmed. I think sometimes my term is I'm drowning. I feel like I'm drowning. There's too much to take care of and I'm drowning. And so what do? Sometimes I just dive in and see how fast I can get everything done. And I come out more discouraged and more tired than I was to start with. And God is saying, I will deliver you. You didn't come to me. You didn't talk to me. I will help you. You're carrying idols, and you were not made to be an idol bearer. False gods will fail you. Baal and Nebo sure didn't save those Babylonians. They were stooping, and they were bowing, and they actually made the captivity worse. And C.S. Lewis says, idols always break the hearts of the worshipers. What are you replacing God with to help you in life? It might seem like it works for a while. Think about the New Year's celebration, and they bring those idols out, and they parade them through the streets, and everybody feels good, and there's probably drinking and partying, and you feel good, and everything's going well. So you might have a few moments of this is working while our idols are being out here paraded, but not long term. And so Isaiah 46 and 3 through 4, God is saying, hearken unto me, listen, listen, people of God. From the moment you were in your mother's belly to the time you're born to the time you die, I want to carry you, I made you, I want to bear you, and I will deliver you. In Isaiah, that in that same chapter in verse 5, God says, to whom will you liken me? To Baal? To Nebo? To all these idols that I've talked to you, these modern idols that we've talked about tonight, God says, whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me? That way we may be like. Remember this, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And people, the next time, probably tonight or tomorrow or soon, when you feel overwhelmed, depressed, discouraged, dealing with something that's just too much, I trust you'll pause for a moment and remember, we're not made to be idol bearers. We're made to be carried. We're made to be born by God. He wants to help us.